Today is Mabo Day. That's the anniversary of the landmark decision by the High Court of Australia that overturned the legal fiction of Terra Nullius. Every 2 years, Eddie Mabo's extraordinary land rights campaign is commemorated with the Mabo Oration. This year, it will be delivered by Luke Pearson. Luke's a Gamilaroi man and the founder of Indigenous X, one of Australia's leading online platforms for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. Luke Pearson joined us in our Brisbane studios this morning. Luke, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
And congratulations on being chosen to deliver the Mabo Oration. It's quite an honour. Luke, what is Mabo Day mean to you?
I think it represents so much of the struggle. Obviously, you know, the victory itself, disproving the myth of Terra Nullius, opening the door for land rights or native title. But, you know, his commitment to his truth and a core truth for all Indigenous peoples that this land was never Terra Nullius, that it is our land. You know, it's hard to think of a single individual who's had a bigger contribution to the national narrative of Australia.
Yeah, I think that's true. As you said there, the Mabo, the ruling from the High Court exposed Terra Nullius as a lie or a myth. That was what the Mabo challenge was all about. I think you're going to be talking about exploding myths or tackling myths in your Mabo oration. Which myths are you focusing on?
Rather than a list of individual myths, I think so much of, you know, what I try to do in my work is reshaping how Indigenous people are defined within that national narrative that is Australia, and, you know, our right to hold true to our own sense of self, to our own understanding of who we are and our place within this country. You know, so often we're framed as a charity case or aspirations to close the gap. You know, when we talk about Indigenous rights, we're dismissed as wanting free handouts or special treatment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very hard to have conversations in this country about what are the rights of Indigenous people and what should our status be within the colony.
And how are you finding Indigenous X, for those who don't know? I think you started off a few years ago with a Twitter account, which now got, I think, 48,000 followers or something, but you've also got your online presence, so you've got your collaboration with The Guardian. How's the digital age, I suppose, but how's Indigenous X changed the way Indigenous Australians are telling stories, are learning stories, and are being heard more broadly? Have you felt something change?
I think for a lot of people, what we symbolise, and like I said, I think it was a part of that shift of the digital age, as you mentioned, so, you know, I certainly wouldn't take credit for everything, but, you know, we now have so many spaces where Indigenous people are able to tell their own stories in their own world. And I think a big part of that problem around the framing of Indigenous people traditionally has been that it would usually be non-Indigenous people, particularly white people, looking at Indigenous people talking about us, and then, you know, very heavily edited or, you know, put into particular boxes of what sort of stories people would hear about us. And with a platform like Indigenous X, where we have a different person each week on Twitter, but we also publish our own content on our own website, as well as the partnership with The Guardian. And now, again, you know, so many other media outlets have jumped on board with similar things, where we have, you know, so many more Indigenous people telling their own stories, you know, for better or worse, whatever those stories are, that help sort of help people see that we are people, that we have, you know, we don't all think the same or agree on the same things, that we have different issues we're talking about. And a lot of the things that people probably thought they had some understanding of, just being able to hear that firsthand from an individual, I think is such a different and better way to hear Indigenous stories.
Luke, the theme of Mabo Day is human rights. I think mm-hmm. the theme of your oration tonight, your speech tonight, is going to be, and you've already mentioned it, Indigenous rights. Mm. You say Indigenous rights, not equal rights. What is your message, Luke?
Well, exactly that. And like I said, so often, you know, when we look at reconciliation or we look at closing the gap, or, you know, so many of the conversations about what needs to happen for Indigenous people, that's done outside of conversations of sovereignty. It's done outside of conversations of self-determination, of social, cultural and economic opportunities, not as handouts, not as, you know, cases of charity, but as our fundamental rights as Indigenous people. We have a right to land and water. We have a right to language and culture, and we have a right to social, cultural and economic opportunities on our land.
And so if I was saying to you, what's your definition of Indigenous rights, that's what you would say, a talk of sovereignty, self-determination, economic opportunity.
Yeah, well, that's the very much the soundbite version, I'd say, to anyone out there who's interested to go and look at the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. I think mm-hmm. that pretty succinctly covers the scope of Indigenous rights, but it's about our right to determine for ourselves our status within the colony.
And how does that work within the nation that Australia is now? How do the First Peoples get that? Is that what we're talking about this now in the context of the voice to Parliament? Is that a good place to start?
Yeah, well, that's definitely one thing that people are pursuing. I think there's many different ways, and you know, a part of what I'm going to talk about is keeping focused on that goal and not letting ourselves be dismissed or be distracted by so many of the other conversations that, like I said, you know, so often when we talk about these things, you know, they'll be framed as, oh, you just want something for free, you want mm-hmm. special treatment, rather than we want our status as Indigenous peoples recognised. And so whether that's through treaty, whether that's, you know, I think it comes in many different forms for, you know, individuals, for families, for communities, but also nationally. So, you know, I don't have the silver bullet of here's how we can achieve this tomorrow, but I think, you know, if we lose sight of those goals and lose sight of our rights, that's when the game is lost, because we're no longer fighting for it.
It's 12 minutes past eight. Our guest is Luke Pearson, founder of Indigenous X, which is a digital media platform, and he's going to be giving the Mabo oration tonight at the Queensland's Performing Arts Complex in Brisbane. This is a major speech that only happens every 2 years on Mabo Day, which is today. I want to talk more about the voice and how we might get towards some of these goals you're talking about, but can I just ask you, because you've said a couple of times now, you know, it's almost dismissing talk of closing the gap. What's wrong with that, Luke? Isn't it a good thing that the nation looks at some of the indicators, determinants that are really not good enough and sets a goal of addressing it?
Those things need to be addressed, of course. You know, low life expectancy, poor health outcomes, but they are not the outcome. That is not the destiny of Indigenous peoples to simply have. You know, those are things I would talk about in a conversation of human rights, in citizen rights, of, you know, what should just be a given in this country. But they are not the end goal. And so much of what we see, I think, you know, the closing the gap, as distinct from close the gap, but the government response of closing the gap is, you know, a really important signifier of, you know, failed programs that happen without Indigenous people taking the lead.
So in terms of all of us, you're asking us to acknowledge that the first Australians have special rights, Indigenous rights. They're something different to what we've really been contemplating so far, that they are vested in you simply as the first Australians.
Very much so, yes. And that is not a threat. You know, we saw after the Mabo victory, you know, massive campaigns, Aboriginal people are coming to take your backyard. Mm. We see it with the Uluru statement and the call for the voice. Now, oh, you want a third chamber of parliament. You know, there's so much hyperbole and misrepresentation of what Indigenous rights mean and what self-determination means. And, you know, whenever we have conversations of self-determination nowadays, people will bring up, oh, well, ATSIC, you know, we tried that and it failed. Whereas, like, you know, and John Howard, I think, explicitly said this is the failed experiment of self-determination, whereas you don't get to fail with the right to self-determination. Self-determination includes the right to make mistakes, to learn as you go. You know, if we were to abolish government every time that there was corruption or that, you know, something wasn't working, we wouldn't have had a government for very long.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's go to the notion of the voice again, because we are going to be talking about it in this next 3 years of government, no doubt about it. And last week here on Breakfast, the new Indigenous Affairs Minister, Ken Wyatt, was asked about the voice to Parliament and his thoughts about Labor Senator Pat Dodson's idea of regional bodies. Let's listen to Ken Wyatt.
Communities are saying it's fine for the leadership to raise issues, but you don't listen to us at the community level. And this is one of the elements that I saw come through when I chaired the Parliamentary Joint Committee on this same issue. Communities were saying, it's fine setting up these bodies, but how do you listen to us?
That's Ken Wyatt last week. So I suppose posing the question of one voice to Parliament, how does that assure kind of regional input on government policy? And is that the kind of model that would be a step towards self-determination?
I think if there were, you know, systems and infrastructure put in place to allow local decision making and that, you know, feed up through the different tiers to get to national decision making and have a say in that, that in itself to me would be a phenomenal outcome. You know, there used to be opportunities for people to come together at those local and regional and then, you know, state and national levels to have conversations and to put their voices forward. And now...
Well, ATSIC, you know, was that really, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, well, in many ways it was. You know, I don't think it was ever really... It never really had the capacity to be broader than what it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, was sort of under-resourced and, you know, focused on a lot of things that sort of kept it away from those larger. But yes, at that time, we had far more, you know, of a political voice, of opportunities for collective decision-making.
Luke, just finally, are you hopeful? Are you hopeful that Australia will come to the point of acknowledging Indigenous rights?
Well, I think that's the... You know, the central theme of what I want to talk about tonight is, you know, in many ways it's hard to see that today. And, you know, we're so often bombarded with those negative stories. You know, some of the stuff that Ken Wyatt has come out and said is, you know, reason for some optimism, but, you know, the Liberal government more broadly has not been particularly supportive of the idea of a voice or of Indigenous rights.
Okay.
Full stop. But, you know, we need to cling to that core truth and we need to remember that these are our rights. And I think as long as, you know, we hold that true, as long as we pass it on to our children and more other people around Australia and around the world recognise that, then there is hope.
Luke Pearson, thanks for joining us and good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Luke Pearson is the founder of Indigenous X, which is a digital media platform, presenting this year's Mabo Oration tonight in Brisbane at the Queensland Performing Arts Complex.